Welcome to News Tribune on Tap. I'm Gary Castor, managing editor at the Jefferson City News Tribune and host of News Tribune on Tap, a weekly conversation about news and issues in Jefferson City that matter to you. Today's special guest is Officer Martika Hitt. Hello, Martika.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going well. So Martika is the community resource officer for the Jefferson City Police Department. Let's start with what does a community resource officer do? I'm assuming it's a wide-ranging assortment of duties.
Yes. So it's a lot of things that I do.
Okay.
Primarily it's mental health outreach. So anytime we have an individual who comes to the attention of law enforcement for a mental health reason, I get involved wherever it is necessary. So sometimes it might be assisting on a mental health crisis call.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it might be responding on the back end of a crisis call that an officer took while I was off duty, and I do some follow-up on that, almost like a detective would.
Okay.
I do a lot of follow-ups and outreaches throughout what we call the sequential intercept model. That's a model that's used nationwide by the judicial systems in various areas and settings. To address people where they're at, essentially,
okay,
and make sure that the appropriate interventions are applied. So ultimately, we want to get everybody handled at level zero,
mm-hmm,
where it is a consensual contact. Maybe they reached out for help. We give the resources, they get help, and they don't come back to our attention for any negative reasons.
Okay.
That's ideal. All the way up to the last intercept where we're working with individuals on reentry from prison. So hopefully that they do not recidivate back into criminal activity.
Okay.
It's more rare that I would operate at that level, more so at level 0, 1, and 2, which are more of like the court interventions.
Mm-hmm.
But occasionally we do get involved in reentry intervention. So,
okay. So
yeah.
Now how does one, I'm assuming there's specialized training for this?
Well, I'm the first community resource officer.
All right.
So I actually, I have an MSW. I've been working in law enforcement and behavioral health since 2011.
Okay.
So I've really married all of my skills and training together into this role, which is really my dream job. So I have a lot of my educational training,
mm-hmm,
a lot of experiential training. I've been a CIT officer ever since 2018,
mm-hmm,
which is a critical law enforcement training for addressing individuals who are presenting with mental health crises,
yeah,
or behavioral health crises.
Yeah. I got to tell you, I have to ask, how does one decide that that's your dream job, right? You're dealing with people in very unsettled situations, right?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously they need help, but that's also, I would think, very stressful for them as well as potentially for you.
Sometimes it can be. Yeah. You know, I really found my niche in crisis intervention pretty, mm-hmm, early on. And mixed with, you know, my own life experiences, really honed my skills, and I'm very good at staying calm in crises, which I think translates into calming the situation down, mm-hmm, de-escalating things, and really getting on the same level as individuals and letting them know, hey, we're here to help you. We're here to help you figure out, where do we go from here? How do we make your situation better? Whatever the need is, we're going to try to make that a reality for that individual.
Yeah. You know, it strikes me, before we started recording, I was sharing with Martika that we're hearing her name a lot in the community, and it's usually tied to discussions about the unhoused or homeless. So share a bit about what your current role is in that setting.
Sure.
What that might look like to someone who's witnessing it.
Sure. A lot of different things. So primarily my focus is mental health. And we know that approximately 11% of the entire homeless population, of the homeless population, finds themselves with serious mental illness. And those are who you think of when you think of someone who's unhoused or homeless. And so maybe they are getting arrested multiple times for stealing or trespassing or urinating in public. That's, mm-hmm, we're going to get lots of calls on individuals like that, or maybe just a call as simple as move subjects on.
Yeah.
Maybe they're not necessarily being trespassed, but they're just not welcome. And that tends to happen a lot to individuals who are unhoused. So we try to let them know what the resources are, try to get them plugged into it. If they need a ride to one of those places, we're going to take them. Or I'm going to find someone to connect them if they're not comfortable with going in a police car, because that still is very stigmatizing, even if it's an unmarked police car. So we want to make sure that they have access to the whatever it is that they need. If it's an ID, if it's they need access to a food pantry, I try not to assume that they know what the resources are and make sure that they're educated on them and that they have access to them.
Okay.
So that's where I get involved with them. Sometimes it's through court intervention. So like I mentioned, they're sometimes getting arrested, maybe for the same things over and over again. And we ask them what they're willing and able to do so that we don't have to keep arresting them.
Yeah.
And we have, you know, empathic conversations, and we try to address critical needs that they have. And we go from there. If they are doing what they need to do to elevate themselves out of that situation, the judge is going to be pretty lenient. And maybe that charge is just going to go away if they're showing, hey, I'm doing what I need to do so I don't get caught up in trespassings anymore. And that could look like a lot of things.
Yeah. So feet on the ground here, what's your assessment as to how big of a homeless population you encounter, the community has? Are there specific areas that maybe are a bit more contentious, where there's that, it's not conflict, but where you say they're not welcome necessarily, and
You know, we find individuals that are unhoused all across the city. I would say they're more condensed or seen in the downtown area because that's where a lot of the resources are available. But we find them, you know, everywhere in the city. So we never know when we're going to get a call.
Yeah. Do you have an idea of numbers?
So I said about 11% of the homeless population is struggling with severe mental illness. Those are the ones that I'm typically involved with. And that trend is pretty similar from what I'm seeing in Jeff City. So my fiscal year runs October to October. That's when our program started, was October of 2023 to October of 2024. We served 481 individuals, about 11% of that, about 48 to 50 is a low end, up to about 15%, which is about 78 to 80 individuals were counted as being unhoused here in Jefferson City. And that's on my caseload, but I know pretty much most of them.
Yeah.
And we try to keep tabs on them. We try to figure out, you know, where they might be found in case we're worried about them or we want to outreach them. If we don't have to trespass them or move them on, we won't, because we want to know where we can find them later if we need to.
Yeah.
Or if I refer them to services, I need to be able to send a behavioral health liaison or a crisis services worker from Compass, the 90-day crisis workers, out to these locations. Mm-hmm. So if it's not an urgent need that they have to move on, they're trespassing, there's no victim that wants to say, hey, they're on my property and I don't want them here, then I'm just going to leave them so I know where to find them or I know where to send services to them.
Okay. All right. So we kind of touched on this earlier. To me, it strikes, there's kind of two considerations. You can look at the situation from the standpoint of the unhoused or homeless. You can also look at it from the perspective of a business, a resident who encounters someone in an uncomfortable setting. Okay.
Absolutely.
So let's talk about the first one being, what are the considerations that you have to take towards the unhoused, you know, their safety, things such as that. What are some things that come into play, and how do you address, you know, whether it's they are urinating in public, whether they're begging for food or whatever. What are some of the tools that you have at your disposal that will help them at that time of crisis?
Absolutely. So we definitely need to balance the needs of everybody in our city. And it really just starts with a needs assessment. So what is the presenting issue and what are the solutions to this? Is Is this person stealing because they're hungry? Is this person urinating outside because they don't know where it is an appropriate place? Maybe they've been trespassed from many different places. Mm-hmm. And so we educate them on where they are allowed to go, places that they're not likely to get trespassed or moved on from. Mm-hmm. And so if they're aware of what they can and can't do, then it will propel them towards making better choices.
Okay. Okay. So let's do it from the perspective then of the resident of the business. So if they have someone who is sleeping out behind their building or approaching customers in an awkward way, what's the best way that the business or the residents can best address this?
It is going to depend, really. Okay. Sometimes if a business wants to say, I'd like to just have them moved on, then we're going to offer those resources first. Hey, they don't want you to stay here, but we don't want to just kick you down the road. Maybe we can offer you a ride to the crisis center or the well-being center or the Landmark Recovery Center, where it's a drop-in day shelter. So if they're willing and able to do those things, great. We have a solution. If they're not willing to, and we need to take it up to the next level. And again, this is moving through the sequential intercept mapping. If an arrest needs to occur, okay, that is unfortunate, but we have a solution at the next intercept. Hmm. And that would be, you know, discussing with the judge, hey, you know, we offered these things, they didn't take us up on it. Now they got arrested for this. Okay, let's, what can we do now?
Yeah.
All right, what are you willing to do so that we don't have to keep bringing you back to jail? We don't have to keep giving you citations.
Right.
Because it's not helpful to them, it's not helpful for the business, it's not helpful for us.
Yeah.
And so sometimes people really respond to the accountability measure.
Hmm.
And so we've had pretty good success with doing it that way if we need to.
Yeah. You know, I think sometimes there's a perception that homeless are coming in, spend a few days here, then move on. But for some, I mean, this is their town, right? This mm-hmm. is their home for at this point. And I would think that would be a different approach, how you would also approach them, whether this is they're on their way to St. Louis or Kansas City or whatever.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, if they are just stopping through, we'll get them connected to other resources that might be able to provide funding or support as they get to their next destination or whatever it is that they need. We're not able to buy bus passes, but another agency might be able to.
Right,
so we're going to make those connections.
Yeah. So let's back up a second. I forgot a question I want to ask. So let's say I have encountered someone and there's part of me that thinks I should not call 911, right? What's the best way to reach out for help? Is it 911?
Someone can call our non-emergency number. That way they're not tying up a 911 line for sure. Because I can't be on duty at all times, but dispatch always has somebody who's manning that line. So if they need to, you know, ask for resources, they can ask if I'm on duty. I'll come out or I'll talk to them on the phone.
Yeah.
Whatever it is that they need. But if somebody's in need and needs to reach out to us, we're happy to provide that service. If it's not an emergency, definitely just call our dispatch line, which is 573-634-6400.
Okay. And presumably, you're right, you can't work 24/7, 7 days a week.
Batteries.
Yeah, it's probably not a good life balance, I'm just going to say. So I'm presuming that the police department is really focused also on having a support network there, that there is some intervention training for all officers, mm-hmm. where you had mentioned you would follow up on cases, for instance.
Yes. Yeah, ideally, I wish everybody could be CIT trained, and our goal is to have a majority of our officers CIT trained.
Mm-hmm.
The training is not for everybody, and it's a value of CIT International curriculum that we don't force every officer to do CIT.
Mm-hmm.
We want somebody who's really passionate and excited and wants to employ CIT skills to different calls that involve behavioral health issues or mental health issues or homelessness issues, so that everybody has at least one officer they can turn to on each shift that will take that call.
Yeah.
And be able to relay appropriate resources. And if it needs, you know, additional work on the back end, then they can forward that call to me and I can pick it up when I come back on duty.
Sure, sure. So you know, it strikes me, I will say, we're here on Capitol Avenue, and every night when I walk to my parking lot to get my car, there are times during the summer I encounter folks that you can tell they're kind of squirreled away in a cubbyhole. They're not hurting anyone. Mm-hmm. But then I think of days like today, Martika, where it is just cold.
Yes.
And what sort of resources, because there are days when it's really hot too, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
So not every day is the same. You know, mm-hmm. I have the luxury of coming in and having heat in my house, air conditioning, but some folks do not.
Mm-hmm.
So what are some of the resources that you use that really benefit helping during those really trying times?
Absolutely. So particularly now that Room at the Inn is open, which is our winter overnight shelter, the doors open at 5:30. Folks can show up, get dinner. The doors close at 8 o'clock, and if they leave, they can't come back, but if they stay, they're welcome to stay the night there until 7 a.m. They get breakfast, coffee, whatever, snacks, and a safe place to lay their head at night. It's a low barrier, so the only thing really that they're asking is if they're a veteran, because that can connect them to additional resources.
Mm-hmm.
They can be under the influence. That's not a barrier to access their services. You just can't bring in alcohol or drugs or anything like that. Mm-hmm. You can't leave to smoke. But they lock up all your stuff so it's secure. Nobody's going to steal your things or get into your stuff. It's a really great resource. The folks that are there are very caring, and they do a lot more than just provide shelter services. They're doing like this one-on-one, you know, mm-hmm. counseling and encouragement, and they're helping people get housed. Every year I hear about folks who utilize the Room at the Inn. They went in unhoused and they came out with housing.
Yeah.
So that's wonderful.
Yeah.
The goal is to put ourselves out of work. That's what
that
we say.
Is awesome. Exactly.
But, during the summer when it's really hot, during the day, when the winter shelter is cold, Landmark Recovery has a day drop-in shelter. It's not really a shelter. It's a drop-in center
mm-hmm.
where people can just hang out and yeah. have a safe place. They can get peer counseling. They can get coffee, snacks. They can do just about anything
yeah.
As far as like getting on the computer and doing applications for jobs, applying for benefits if that's what they need,
mm-hmm.
Get support, go to do sober activities.
Yeah.
So that or the wellness center if they're Compass clients. There's a wellness center that's open also in the daytime hours.
Okay.
They can drop in and learn how to write a budget, learn how to cook food, learn how to read a recipe, just basic life skills that we take for granted.
Mm-hmm.
They're able to access those things there.
Yeah, they can change lives, right?
Absolutely.
You know, and that's the thing I love. You mentioned Room at the Inn. That is an incredible program. It's run by volunteers,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
I mean, very devoted volunteers. We will put a link in our show notes. We did a podcast with when Homeless Connect was going on, and that apparently sprang out of that.
Yeah.
And it's just amazing the ways in which they use volunteers. It's many hands helping pick up this big task. And for those who can't be there on site to volunteer, mm-hmm. they have an Amazon list where you can help with supplies. And so
yep.
we'll put some links in our show notes. Thank you for bringing that up. That's
yeah.
a great resource.
Absolutely. Because they're always, and also they're also looking for volunteers. People get sick in the winter and sometimes last minute they'll need volunteers. If anybody's interested,
mm-hmm.
There's a sign up Genius link on their Facebook page too,
okay.
where you can go and sign up for shifts. They're very flexible. You don't have to work an entire shift. You could split the shift with somebody too.
Yeah. Yeah. So Martika, what the work you're doing is clearly it's needed in the community. And it's been well received from both sides of the equation, if you will. What motivates you to do this? Cause it's, you're right. You gotta be passionate about it.
Mm-hmm.
So what, when you wake up every morning to start your shift, I mean, what's pushing you to do it?
I would definitely say my Christian faith. I believe, you know, in the Bible, it talks about walking away from the 99 and going after the one. And so I really feel that I can live that out in service to somebody who's really struggling. And that motivates me. And I think it's also a strong protective factor for me as a police officer from the trauma that I experience and vicariously and the things that I see, which not everybody's exposed to. And that can really weigh heavy on officers' mental health, which I'm a huge proponent for, mm-hmm. is officer wellness. But I think that's a huge buffer that provides me the ability to stay mentally and emotionally well so that I can serve folks who are struggling. So hopefully they can get to that point in as well.
Well, we appreciate the service you're doing. It does offer that glimmer of hope for folks at a very difficult time. And so thank you for the work that you're doing.
Absolutely.
And thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. You can find News Tribune on tap at newstribune.com, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Play.